In Ephesians chapter 4, just to give ourselves a brief introduction, the Apostle Paul is writing these brethren and teaching them how to live. In chapter 4, verse 17, he began in instructing them, telling them, informing them of the ways in which they had lived and that way of being in sin, and the reason because of that, because of the futility of their mind. In verse 18, the darkening of their understanding, and because of that, they were excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance, the ignorance that was in them because of the hardness of their hearts. That verse 19, they had become callous and giving themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And in other words, they couldn't get enough of sin. Just like an alcoholic can never get enough alcohol, the next time has to be more and more. And the same thing with one who is on drugs. That's so with those living in sin. You can never get enough sin. You can never satisfy the flesh completely. You must always have more of this sin in your lives. And he tells them that they had not learned Christ in this way, verse 20. And now for much of the remainder of the epistle, he is teaching them of these things which they had learned in Christ and that you and I also learn. How should we walk in this life? As we've already read in verse 2, we are to walk in love just as Christ also loved us, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. In verse 2 of Ephesians 5, to walk in love, we talk about this from time to time. Love here is agape. It is the conviction that we have to do the right thing all the time in every situation. It is a matter of will rather than a matter of feeling. We talk about a number of verses. We talk about our love toward God and our relationship with Him. To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. To have this commitment, to have this will in our lives, no matter what the cost is, to always be right with God. We talk about it in relationship with our neighbor, with our fellow man. To love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. And Paul teaches us, if our enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 21, going all the way through chapter 6, verse 8. He's talking about our relationships with other people, with our husbands and our wives, and with our employers, employees, our children, our parents. And we are to be in the right relationship with all of these, no matter what the cost be to us. And then just for fun, I threw this one in, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. We're to love the truth. And we're to be committed to the truth and to do whatever is called upon us in the truth, no matter what that cost may be. And as I thought about this, I thought once again of the example of Polycarp. And Gary was talking about this morning, those who are examples. And as I read stories of early Christians and the sacrifice they had to make, I was just fascinated with the sacrifice of Polycarp. And you remember the story, he was 80-some years old. And he was brought before the magistrates and he was ordered to swear and deny Christ. And this is what he says, 86 years have I served him and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who hath saved me? And you remember the result of that. He was burned at the stake. There are many Christians during this day and age who thought it would be very easy. It's nothing to deny Christ. I'll deny Christ. I'll get out of this and I'll live another day. Then I'll be able to serve God in other ways. But there is no compromise when you love the truth. No compromise to deny Christ, even if it be for just a moment, just for a minute in time, even if the price be so great. There is no compromise when it comes to truth. And there was no compromise in the life of Polycarp. Do you love God? Do you love your fellow man? Do you love the truth? What in your life today shows your commitment? What in your life today shows your commitment? The commitment required of us by the Lord in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 is a commitment of sacrifice. And he says this, again, read verse 2, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He says, just as Christ loved you, and Christ loved us to be a sacrifice. And now God calls for us to love him just as Christ loved us. Christ's love was a sacrifice. Therefore, our love to God must be a sacrifice. And we've talked about this a number of times. We are seldom called upon today to sacrifice of necessity. Polycarp was faced with a situation of necessity. He had the decision to make. Deny Christ or be burned at the stake. Oftentimes, our decisions to make are not those being demanded of us, but we make them of our own free will. What sacrifices are you making to serve God in your life of your own free will? God's love for us to give Jesus. Jesus' love for us to empty himself, come to earth, to live as a servant, a slave, to preach the gospel and die upon the cross. What is your sacrifice of love to God? As I thought about this and I searched for an illustration, I found a very interesting illustration to me, a true illustration. Dave Simmons, this happened to him in his life. He writes about it. He took his two children, his 8-year-old daughter, Helen, and his 5-year-old son to the mall. And when he got there, there was a petting zoo outside in the parking lot. And so they asked if they could go, and he gave them each a quarter so that they could go. He goes into Sears, and he is shopping, and before long, Helen, his daughter, walks up behind him. He thought it was rather unusual that his daughter would choose to be with him rather than being with the petting zoo because she just loved the animals. And so before long, he asked her what was wrong because the situation was so strange. And she said, well, Daddy, it was 50 cents to get into the zoo, and so I gave my brother my quarter. So he finished shopping, and then he goes outside to the petting zoo, and he did something, but probably not what you think he would have done. He stood there, and he watched his son at the petting zoo. He stood at the fence. He watched Brandon go crazy petting the animals and feeding them. Helen stood there with her hands and her chin resting on the fence and just watched Brandon. Now, Dave had 50 cents in his pocket, just burning a hole in his pocket, and he really wanted to give it to Helen, but he did not give it to her, and she didn't even ask. She had repeated earlier that their motto in the family is, love is action. But really, she didn't understand the whole motto. The motto really was, love is sacrificial action. And so Dave allowed her to sacrifice that day because she loved her brother. If he took the 50 cents out and gave it to her, it would not be her love toward her brother. It would then become his love toward her brother and toward her. So he allowed her to sacrifice that day. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. Love gives. It doesn't grab. It doesn't take. Helen, he says, had to sacrifice that day. She had given her quarter to Brandon. She had to sacrifice for it to be love. She wanted to experience the family motto, love is sacrificial action. And I think that demonstrates it very well. And I think about myself. What is my sacrifice of love? In Ephesians chapter 5 and a number of places here, but let's look at this sacrifice of love. Verse 21 in Ephesians chapter 5, we're to submit to one another in the fear of Christ. This is sacrificial, is it not? We're not doing what we want to do. We're doing what is good for others. We're doing what's good for the group. It is sacrificing of ourselves. Verse 22, something that's very unpopular today in the world. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's sacrificial. Not to do what you necessarily want to do, but the one who has authority over you, what that one wants you to do, that is sacrificial. And then for the husbands also in verse 25, to love their own wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now this is part of this voluntary sacrifice, husbands. We are to give ourselves up for our wives just as Christ gave himself up for us. That means we voluntarily sacrifice ourselves for our wives. And husbands, are we doing that? Or are we just doing the things that we mostly want to do and only giving in to her when it's something we really don't care about? What do you think? Continuing on verse 28. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And then we go to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, this is not popular today, is it? You know, what society teaches us to disrespect our parents and not to obey our parents and to make fun of them and to criticize them and to ridicule them even behind their back. And so children are called to sacrifice, to obey your parents. And sure, you can get away with it. Sure, you can hide. Sure, you can do something else when you're not around them. But your sacrifice is to obey all the time. And for parents in raising their children in the training and admonition of the Lord, that takes lots and lots of work. You're going to have to sacrifice your time and sacrifice other things that you want to be doing to bring them up and to teach them. Just to prepare for Bible class with the little ones. I'm reminded of this in teaching the K through 2 class. Just to teach that memory verse every week. A different memory verse every week. That takes commitment. That takes sacrifice. There's other things we could be doing as parents rather than reviewing a memory verse every day so that comes the next Sunday, they know that memory verse and they've studied their lessons. As Paul continues on for slaves to masters and masters to slaves, and we apply it to employees to employers, employers to employees. All of this is a commitment. All of this is a sacrifice. Sure, we could be terrible employees. Sure, we could go off and we could hide and be lazy and waste time. Sure, we could take little things from the office that don't belong to us that we shouldn't take. Those are not being sacrifices. Our sacrifice is to be the best employees there are, working as unto the Lord in all that we do. And so we are the best employees because we are sacrificing. And we are the best employers because we have the best interests of our employees in mind as we also think about our very own interests. This sacrifice of love. Another illustration I came upon, and I'm just compelled to share it with you. The 17th century, Oliver Cromwell sentenced a soldier to be shot to death for his crimes. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. However, this particular night, the bell did not ring. The soldier's fiance had climbed up into the belfry and clung on to the great clapper of the bell so that when the rope was pulled, that it did not strike. She was then summoned by Cromwell and asked to give an account for her actions, and she wept and she showed her bruised and bleeding hands. Cromwell's heart was so touched, he said to her, "Your fiancé shall live because of your sacrifice. Curfew shall not ring tonight." Sacrificial love. Do you love? Do you love? Do you have a sacrificial love? If you don't have a sacrificial love, do you really have the love we're talking about this morning? To love God as Christ loved you and gave himself, sacrificed himself? If your love is not a sacrificial love, is it the love God is talking about? That God is asking you to have toward God, toward spouse, child, parents, children, employers, employees, walking in love. I want to take a moment. I want to talk in some detail now about what Paul writes about throughout the rest of this chapter, at least the next few verses. And I want us to make an application here as he's written these things. In verse 1, to be imitators of God as beloved children. In other words, God loves you and you are his loved children. And so now we are called to act in a special way. That is, we are to love him back, verse 2. And this is a sacrificial love as Christ loved us. Verses 3 through 5. Now he addresses immorality. And he says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And verse 4, I want us to focus on. Because these things are everywhere in the world. People in the world act in these immoral ways with filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting, telling dirty jokes without saying dirty words. That's how I like to put it. And so this is everywhere in the world. And we as Christians, we abstain. We do not participate in this. We do not act that way. And this is a sacrifice for us. How is it a sacrifice? We deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after Jesus Christ. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you don't do these things in verse 4, a lot of times you're not going to be in the popular crowd. You may not be openly criticized because of it, but you're not going to be the ones that people want to spend Friday night or Saturday night with. You may not be the one invited over to the neighbors to watch the ball games and things like this because they're cussing and they're reveling and doing all sorts of things like this. Well, they don't want someone there who's not going to do that. This is a sacrifice in our lives. He continues on in verse 6. And he talks about not being deceived. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes beyond the sons of upon the sons of disobedience. And to not be deceived requires a great deal of sacrifice. We have to know what this book says. And we have to understand what this book says. And we have to be applying that to our lives. And that takes a lot of work to do that. It takes years of growth and maturity and constantly working and constantly reviewing. You know, there's some things I learned a long time ago. But you know what I found? I have to review them constantly because I forget, what are those verses that talk about this? Where are those verses at? How do I explain those verses? And you know, it's one thing to be able to say, well, let me go study that for an hour or two or a day or two or a week and then we'll come back and talk about it. Sometimes we need to do that. But sometimes we're in situations we don't have that opportunity. If we don't know it right off the top of our head, the situation, the opportunity passes us by. And so to review and to be on top of these things that we're talking about with people and to be able to freely converse, this takes a sacrifice in our life. It takes missing maybe one of those football games on Saturday afternoon. It takes maybe missing one of those movies on Friday night. It takes sacrifice of time and energy and priorities of life to be one who is not deceived by these things in the world. Continue on with me. Paul now talks about being a light to the world. And just as Jesus called upon us to be lights unto the world, as we talked about our example today, to live the right way. Number one, to know the right way. Number two, to develop ourselves to live in that way. And the Apostle Paul, let me read a few verses here. Follow along with me. Verse 7, therefore he says, remember verse 2, love God, be this sacrificial love, not immorality, not deceit. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Remember verse 4, what we're talking about with that. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. And so here we are, walking as children of light. And let me tell you something, there's some sacrifice involved. And I'll tell you something else. If there's not sacrifice involved in your life regarding the things we're talking about and being the best Christian you can be, you're not the brightest light that you can be. You're not. You can't be. It's impossible. Drop on down with me just a little further. Let's go down to verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now, this is more of a sacrifice. You know, it's one thing to walk in the world and just by our conduct in general, not necessarily by what we say. We're not really defending the truth. We're not teaching where others are wrong, but we're just living good moral lives. Now, there's a sacrifice. Now, let's take it on further. Exposing darkness just not because of our general activities in life, But now let's proactively talk to people. And man, you want to see a sacrifice then. I mean, that changes the whole thing. Proactively have conversations with people about these things of darkness that are in the world, and that changes everything. And that requires a sacrifice. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. And we're in a world where it's not disgraceful. You know, and we have a different attitude as to what is proper and what's not proper. There are going to be some things that are talked about. And it may be at school, it may be at work, and we don't talk about those things. It is disgraceful even to speak of them. Continue with me down to verse 15. We are therefore called to walk in wisdom. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Now verse 16, making the most of your time. You know, recreation is needful. Just as sleep is needful. It's necessary for us as people to have recreation. But we are living in a world, in a culture, that is addicted to recreation. Brother Flatt's going to show us some pictures and tell us some stories tonight. I've just got a little insight now, Jerry. I'm not stepping on your message now tonight. And just as we saw the pictures and we heard the stories about Zimbabwe, I think we're going to hear some stories and see some pictures tonight. There are Christians all over the world that are not addicted to recreation, but they're concerned about learning, study, practice. It's very easy for us to get caught up in this addiction for recreation. And brethren, we need to watch out for that. Because too often, I know I battle it in my life, and I've battled it more in the past than I battle now, and I'm watching out for it in the future. It is so easy to be addicted to recreation where we have to watch so much TV every day, and we've got certain shows we got to watch every day, and we've got certain things we want to do, and we just spend so much time doing them that we just waste. Now, to make this sacrifice, to make the most of our time, this is a sacrifice. It wouldn't be as much of a sacrifice in Zimbabwe, because there are other people that are committed so dearly, who travel for days and spend days at what we might call a gospel meeting that lasts hours. You know, it used to be that way in our country. I like talking with Miss Irene, the story she tells about how things were when she was a kid. It used to be that way in our country, but it's not that way anymore. And so we have to watch out. There are going to be few who are sacrificing because of their love to God, that they're going to be setting aside the recreation of this world to make the most of their time. Yes, we need recreation. We need to have that time, and we need to play, and we need to relax, but there's way too much of it going on in our country today. And we have to be careful that we're not caught up in that. Well, let me close with this. Do you sacrificially love God? Do you love God in the way that Jesus loved you? You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we were created in Christ for good works. And so Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, we walk in love. The same love Jesus had when he gave himself up for us. Do you sacrificially love others? Do you sacrificially love God? Do you sacrificially love Jesus? Do you sacrificially love your spouse, your children, your parents, your teachers, your employers, your employees? And if you answered yes, let me ask you this. How do you know? How do you know? It's easy to say, oh yes, I sacrificially love them. How do you know? What is the sacrifice that you're making in your life? What is it? think about these things, if you would, throughout the week. And I suppose all of us, as always, can say, yes, I can do better in my life. There's not a question about that. The only question remains now, will you do better in your life? Will you do better in your life? Think about these things. Walk in love, just as Christ always also loved you. We're going to offer the invitation, if you'll get your songbooks out. We're going to sing number 284. What will your answer be? Jesus is calling through His Word. He's calling all to come to Him. There is a cost. We're taught to count that cost by Jesus. We've studied about that cost today. To have a life of sacrifice. To be different than all the people of the world. If you're not a Christian this morning, are you ready for that commitment in your life? The rewards are great, but there is a cost. What must you do to become a Christian? Simply believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe that He is who He said He was, and therefore submit to Him. Repent of your sins. Turn from doing the wrong. Be committed this morning. I'm going to do the right. I may not know what all the right is, but I'm going to learn it as fast as I can. That's what I'm going to do. To confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you'll be added to the church. You'll become a member of the household of God. You'll be saved from your sins. You'll begin today living a sacrificial life of love. If we can help you this morning, why don't you step to the front as we come and sing. We stand and sing.